Chapter 2. When Conan turned, in compliance with Thallus' request, to glare at the doorway opposite, Natala had been standing just behind him, close to the side of the Stygian. The instant the Cimmerian's back was turned, Thallus, with a pantherish quickness almost incredible, clapped her hand over Natala's mouth, stifling the cry she tried to give. Simultaneously, the Stygian's other arm was passed around the blonde girl's supple waist, and she was jerked back against the wall, which seemed to give way, just as Thallus' shoulder pressed against it. A section of the wall swung inward, and through a slit that opened in the tapestry, Thallus slid with her captive, just as Conan wheeled back. Inside was utter blackness as the secret door swung to again. Thallus paused to fumble at it for an instant, apparently sliding home a bolt, and as she took her hand from Natala's mouth to perform this act, the Brythunian girl began to scream at the top of her voice. Thallus's laugh was like poisoned honey in the darkness.
"Scream if you will, little fool. It will only shorten your life."
At that, Natala ceased suddenly and cowered, shaking in every limb.
"Why did you do this?"
she begged.
"What are you going to do?" "I am going to take you down this corridor for a short distance,"
answered Thallus,
"and leave you for one who will sooner or later come for you."
"Oh!"
Natala's voice broke in a sob of terror.
"Why should you harm me? I have never injured you."
"I want your warrior. You stand in my way. He desires me. I could read the look in his eyes. But for you, he would be willing to stay here and be my king. When you are out of the way, he will follow me."
"He will cut your throat,"
answered Natala with conviction, knowing Conan better than Thallus did.
"We shall see,"
answered the Stygian coolly from the confidence of her power over men.
"At any rate, you will not know whether he stabs or kisses me, because you will be the bride of him who dwells in darkness. Come."
Half mad with terror, Natala fought like a wild thing, but it availed her nothing. With a lithe strength she would not have believed possible in a woman, Thallus picked her up and carried her back down the black corridor as if she had been a child. Natala did not scream again, remembering the Stygian's sinister words. The only sounds were her desperate, quick panting and Thallus's soft, taunting, lascivious laughter. Then the Brythunian's fluttering hand closed on something in the dark, a jeweled dagger hilt jutting from Thallus's gem-crusted girdle. Natala jerked it forth and struck blindly, and with all her girlish power. A scream burst from Thallus's lips, feline in its pain and fury. She reeled, and Natala slipped from her relaxing grasp to bruise her tender limbs on the smooth stone floor. Rising, she scurried to the nearest wall and stood there, panting and trembling, flattening herself against the stones. She could not see Thallus, but she could hear her. The Stygian was quite certainly not dead. She was cursing in a steady stream, and her fury was so concentrated and deadly that Natala felt her bones turn to wax, her blood to ice.
"Where are you, you little she-devil?"
gasped Thallus.
"Let me get my fingers on you again, and I'll—"
Natala grew physically sick as Thallus described the bodily injuries she intended to inflict on her rival. The Stygian's choice of language would have shamed the toughest courtesan in Aquilonia. Natala heard her groping in the dark, and then a light sprang up. Evidently, whatever fear Thallus felt of the black corridor was submerged in her anger. The light came from one of the radium gems which adorned the walls of Xuthal. This Thallus had rubbed, and now she stood bathed in its reddish glow, a light different from that which the others had emitted. One hand was pressed to her side, and blood trickled between her fingers. But she did not seem weakened or badly hurt, and her eyes blazed fiendishly. What little courage remained to Natala ebbed away at sight of the Stygian, standing limned in that weird glow, her beautiful face contorted with a passion that was no less than hellish. She now advanced with a pantherish tread, drawing her hand away from her wounded side and shaking the blood drops impatiently from her fingers. Natala saw that she had not badly harmed her rival. The blade had glanced from the jewels of Thallus' girdle and inflicted only a very superficial flesh wound. Only enough to rouse the Stygian's unbridled fury.
"Give me that dagger, you fool!"
she gritted, striding up to the cowering girl. Natala knew she ought to fight while she had the chance, but she simply could not summon up the courage. Never much of a fighter, the darkness, violence, and horror of her adventure had left her limp, physically and mentally. Thallus snatched the dagger from her lax fingers and threw it contemptuously aside.
"You little slut!"
she ground between her teeth, slapping the girl viciously with either hand.
"Before I drag you down the corridor and throw you into Thog's jaws, I'll have a little of your blood myself. You would dare to knife me? Well, for that audacity you shall pay!"
Seizing her by the hair, Thallus dragged her down the corridor a short distance, to the edge of the circle of light. A ring of metal showed in the wall, above the level of a man's head. From it depended a silken cord. As in a nightmare, Natala felt her tunic being stripped from her, and the next instant Thallus had jerked up her wrists and bound them to the ring, where she hung, naked as the day she was born, her feet barely touching the floor. Twisting her head, Natala saw Thallus unhook a jewel-handled whip from where it hung on the wall near the ring. The lashes consisted of 7 round silk cords, harder yet more pliant than leather thongs. With a hiss of vindictive gratification, Thallus drew back her arm, and Natala shrieked as the cords curled around her loins. The tortured girl writhed, twisted, and tore agonizedly at the thongs which imprisoned her wrists. She had forgotten the lurking menace her cries might summon, and so apparently had Thallus. Every stroke evoked screams of anguish. The whippings Natala had received in the Shemite slave markets paled to insignificance before this. She had never guessed the punishing power of hard-woven silk cords. Their caress was more exquisitely painful than any birch twigs or leather thongs. They whistled venomously as they cut the air. Then, as Natala twisted her tear-stained face over her shoulder to shriek for mercy, something froze her cries. Agony gave place to paralyzing horror in her beautiful eyes. Struck by her expression, Thallus checked her lifted hand and whirled quick as a cat. Too late. An awful cry rang from her lips as she swayed back, her arms upflung. Natala saw her for an instant, a white figure of fear etched against a great black shapeless mass that towered over her. Then the white figure was whipped off its feet and the shadow receded with it, and in the circle of dim light Natala hung alone, half fainting from terror. From the black shadows came sounds, incomprehensible and blood-freezing. She heard Thallus's voice pleading frenziedly, but no voice answered. There was no sound except the Stygian's panting voice, which suddenly rose to screams of agony and then broke in hysterical laughter mixed with sobs. This dwindled to a convulsive panting, and presently this too ceased, and a silence more terrible hovered over the secret corridor. Nauseated with horror, Natala twisted around and dared to look fearfully in the direction the black shape had carried Thallus. She saw nothing, but she sensed an unseen peril, more grisly than she could understand. She fought against a rising tide of hysteria. Her bruised wrists, her smarting body, were forgotten in the teeth of this menace which she dimly felt threatened not only her body but her soul as well. She strained her eyes into the blackness beyond the rim of the dim light, tense with fear of what she might see. A whimpering gasp escaped her lips. The darkness was taking form. Something huge and bulky grew up out of the void. She saw a great misshapen head emerging into the light. At least she took it for a head, though it was not the member of any sane or normal creature. She saw a great toad-like face, the features of which were as dim and unstable as those of a specter seen in a mirror of nightmare. Great pools of light that might have been eyes blinked at her, and she shook at the cosmic lust reflected there. She could tell nothing about the creature's body. Its outline seemed to waver and alter subtly, even as she looked at it. Yet its substance was apparently solid enough. There was nothing misty or ghostly about it. As it came toward her, she could not tell whether it walked, wriggled, flew, or crept. Its method of locomotion was absolutely beyond her comprehension. When it had emerged from the shadows, she was still uncertain as to its nature. The light from the radium gem did not illumine it as it would have illumined an ordinary creature. Impossible as it seemed, the being seemed almost impervious to the light. Its details were still obscure and indistinct, even when it halted so near that it almost touched her shrinking flesh. Only the blinking toad-like face stood out with any distinctness. The thing was a blur in the sight, a black blot of shadow that normal radiance would neither dissipate nor illuminate. She decided she was mad because she could not tell whether the being looked up at her or towered above her. She was unable to say whether the dim, repulsive face blinked up at her from the shadows at her feet or looked down at her from an immense height. But if her sight convinced her that, whatever its mutable qualities, it was yet composed of solid substance, her sense of feel further assured her of that fact. A dark, tentacle-like member slid about her body, and she screamed at the touch of it on her naked flesh. It was neither warm nor cold, rough nor smooth. It was like nothing that had ever touched her before, and at its caress she knew such fear and shame as she had never dreamed of. All the obscenity and salacious infamy spawned in the muck of the abysmal pits of life seemed to drown her in seas of cosmic filth. And in that instant she knew that whatever life form this thing represented, it was not a beast. She began to scream uncontrollably. The monster tugged at her as if to tear her from the ring by sheer brutality. Then something crashed above their heads, and a form hurtled down through the air to strike the stone floor.